So I welcome all of you to English Dhamma discussion. So today Venerable Buddharakkhita is not available. He has been to his country, Ireland. So he won't be available for several weeks. And we have Venerable Dhamma Vijita with us and several more others. And we were discussing Tuataka Sutta. And I think we have reached the last verse, right? We have completed everything except the last one.
Two more.
Yes. Two more? Okay. There are two more verses to discuss. So let me... So this is available in the Sutta Nipata. Tuataka Sutta is in the Sutta Nipata. It is the one sutta in the Attaka Vagga. So one of the very profound teachings collected in the Attaka Vagga and again in the Parayana Vagga. So this Tuataka Sutta is available in the Attaka Vagga. The verse goes like this. Ethancha dhamma manyaya vichinang bhikkhu sada sato sikhi santiti nibbutin nyatva sasane gotamassa nappa majjaya Ethancha dhamma manyaya vichinang bhikkhu sada sato sikhi santiti nibbutin nyatva sasane gotamassa nappa majjaya. So actually here Ethancha dhamma manyaya. So having known that profound teaching. So let me explain in Sinhala. Mahana tela dhamma dana anitya lakshanadiya vimasamin. Hemakalhi elambasiti sihi atte trivida shikshayahi hikmenneya. Ragadi kelisunge sanghidima nivanai dana Gautama buddha sasanehi pamanuvanneya. So ethancha dhamma manyaya. So basically... So that summarizes a previously known certain dhamma. So that's what we have discussed so far. So all those verses summarizes certain amount of morality and then concentration and wisdom. Some information were there in the previous verses. So all together here summarizes as etancha dhamma manyaya, having known that particular dhamma. Vichinam bhikkhu sada sato sikhi. So that particular bhikkhu, sada sato sikhe, every time mindfully restrain himself, sikhe. So he's, sikhati means restraining himself. Sada sato, every time mindfully. Santiti nibbutin nyatva, so that means knowing the nibbana. Peaceful Nibbana, he has known. So basically the Sinhala translation given as calming down of or relinquishing all the defilements, knowing that as the Nibbana. Sasane Gotamasa Nappa Majjaya. So the Buddha's sasana in the dispensation, he won't be heedless. So he is heedful and he is mindful and he is restraining himself and knowing that particular Dhamma. And he has attained Nibbana to that level. So that is very much, we can say as a summary from the Pali verse. So I invite Venerable Dhamma Vijita to present the English translation.
Yes, Bhante. This is verse 933 in the Bhikkhu Bodhi translation. And it is saying, having understood this Dhamma, investigating, a bhikkhu should always train mindfully. Having known quenching of as peace, he should not be heedless in Gotama's teaching.
Having known, can you repeat again?
Yes, I'll repeat the whole thing. Having understood this Dhamma, investigating, a bhikkhu should always train mindfully. Having known quenching as peace, he should not be heedless in Gotama's teaching.
Yeah, okay. So, anything more to add?
For quenching, maybe I could say what Bhikkhu Bodhi says about this. Let's see. Okay, so having known quenching as peace, Bhikkhu Bodhi says, having known the quenching of lust, hatred, and delusion as peace, having known the quenching of anger, etc., of the wholesome volitional activities as peace.
Correct. Okay. So basically, that is very interesting term. So santiti nibbuti nyatva. So knowing that peaceful state as nibbana. So calming down of defilements. So yesterday also we discussed that in the downside Dhamma sermon. So what is nibbana? So to some extent we can say it is the calming down of defilements. So it's very much like a relative understanding. So it is not that immediately we come to the full comprehensive thorough realization of nibbana. It's very much like gradual realization, gradual calming down of defilements. So that is why sometimes it is called as tadanga nibbuti. So that means you have a certain amount of knowledge, you have a certain amount of insights, and again you are maintaining certain amount of morality, and mind is fairly collected. So when all these conditions are fairly satisfied, so your mind is in a peaceful state. So that peaceful state Buddha called as tadanga nibbuti. So it is to that extent you have attained nibbana. To that extent. It is not the full-fledged nibbana where the arahant experiencing in his arahantapala samapatti. So it is not to that prime level. But to this level, he has attained nibbana. So this is also not denied in a way. So therefore, what we need to understand is, it is not that we are trying to meditate right now and attain Nibbana in the future. Rather, how we can meditate right now and calm and make the mind peaceful right now, at this moment. So that kind of an attitude we have to develop. So sometimes we thrive, we strive so that we can attain Nibbana in the future. So that is the kind of the goal we typically have. Forgetting kind of restlessness nature available right now. So currently the mind is restless, currently mind is agitated, but we are forgetful about it, but we are looking forward to attain Nibbana in the future by striving right now with an agitated mind. So the message is not that. So the message is, how am I looking right now? I mean, am I doing well right now? How is it going right now? Is the mind peaceful right now? Is it calm right now? So right now, the present moment. So we have to investigate the present moment. So our introspection has to be highlighted in that sense. So introspection has to be given a fairly high priority. Rather than thinking about the future attainment, how about feeling right now? What is the state of mind right now? So is it going through any kind of grasping, any kind of attachment, any kind of agitation? So that is something that we need to look at right now. And if we found, yes, some agitation is there, some grasping is there, so the mindfulness will indicate that. So at that moment, we have to let it go. We have to relinquish. Again, we have to make the mind peaceful. So you attain Nibbana right now. It is not the full-fledged Nibbana, but without this attainment, without this peaceful experience, you can't think of attaining Nibbana in the future even. I mean, the perfect Nibbana in the future. Right now, without attaining, to some extent, that temporary Nibbana. So therefore, it is very much like again and again we have to come back to that present moment Nibbana in a way. Some peaceful state of mind, calming down of defilements, relinquishing all that attachments, grasping, and then the mind become more peaceful, detached, dispassionate, not associating anything in the world, not grasping anything in the world. So you are experiencing then very peaceful, calm, relaxed state of mind. So that we need to recognize within us right now. So, sada sato sikhe. So, throughout the day, sada. Sada means constantly, not just now. So maybe now, tomorrow, every day. So that has to be the practice. Sada sato sikhe, mindfully. Every time, every day, mindfully, you have to train yourself. It's not that you attain everything and then you wash your hand and then, okay, goodbye, you have attained. So let me go to the office so I can forget about it now. I have done that. task is done. So rather than that, okay, let me reflect currently what's going on. So if there are defilements, let me quench them. If there are graspings, let me relinquish them and keep the mind in a subtle, relaxed, calm, peaceful, unattached, non-grasping state. Okay, now I have attained Nibbana for the moment. So it's a kind of a temporary Nibbana. Again, mind can go and attach. So why? Still defilements are there. Still defilements are there, even though we temporarily attain Nibbana to some extent. So that sort of Nibbana. But still defilements are operating. There are underneath tendencies. Latent tendencies are available. Asava, anusaya. What we call as the influxes and latent tendencies, anusaya. So they are available. So they sometimes comes up. They pops up. Again, we get entangled. Again, we lose our temper. We again lose our kind of, say, that unattached nature. So again, we lose the balance. The equanimous nature of the balance, we again lose. The peace is gone. Again, mind get agitated. So again, we have to reflect or we have to understand, okay, again, mind become restless. Again, mind become attached. So again, we have to relinquish. Again, we have to do the same process. Again, keep the mind in the balance, in the middle. So this kind of a process has to be repeated, I don't know how many times. So repeatedly we have to do the same process again and again, recognizing the inner state, knowing if it is agitated, then we have to keep it, let go the agitation, so the causes, whatever the graspings, and again keep the mind back in the peaceful state. Actually, Buddha explained this in the, say, we can call, what is that, the last sutta in the Majjhima Nikaya, Indriya Bhavana Sutta. So Buddha says, say you are looking at something through your eyes. If it is something beautiful, what happened? So there's a desire might arise in your mind. So there's a elated state that your mind can come to. You were in a peaceful middle state, but as a result of that beautiful sight, you can go to an elated state. So you are now in an excited state. So Buddha say, okay, don't stay there now. So you have to return back to that normal state, that water-like state. There is nothing exciting there, but peaceful, calm, relax. And assume on the other hand, you have seen something depressive, a really tragic situation. Some of your relation passed away, met with a tragic accident, or you yourself met with something. So you become really depressed, you become collapsed. So now Buddha says, don't stay there also. Come, return back to that unattached, unagitated, peaceful, equanimous state. Etan santang, etan panitang, yaddang upekha. So that state, that middle state, the comfort zone, is peaceful. It is sublime, it is calm, it is equanimous. Etan santang, etan panitang, yaddang upekha. So this is peaceful. Etan santang, etan panitan. This is sublime. What? The equanimity. So it's a kind of a process in a way. So it is not that we do something today and run the 100 meters and then attain the Nibbana, done. Not like that. So it's a kind of a process. So we have to live the life. We have to face all the different situations and how mind reacts when we are going through those situations. So as a result of seeing through the eyes, if mind gets agitated, either to the positive elated state or either to the negative depressed state, so you have to come back to the middle. You have to return back to the middle. Now, interestingly, Buddha gave a kind of a simile, how quickly we need to attain that, how quickly we need to return to that middle. So what is the simile? How fast? A blink of an eye. So he has given a reference. He has given a reference how quickly you need to return back. So that is the efficient, most skillful yogi who rather staying in the elated or suppressed, depressed state, he quickly returned back to the middle. So I mean, in a way, that represents what a kind of a practical experience that we have to go through. is not something just written in the book and then, you know, pay respect to that and keep it and attain something. Rather, we need to learn what needs to be done, and then we are going through all the ups and downs of life, vicissitudes of the life. And as a result of that, when the mind gets agitated, either to the positive or to the negative, now again come back, again come back, again return to the comfort zone, again return to the middle, again return to the equanimity. Ongoing process. It's a way of life in a way. So similarly, when you hear certain sounds, say you are hearing a music, very beautiful music. So again your mind go and start appreciating that, start thinking about it, and you start tapping to the, you know, getting the beat, and you are enjoying and you become really happy, but entangled. You know, the mind get entangled in that whatever the words or lyrics or compose, I don't know, what's that, melody, whatever it is. So you get really, you know, in a fantasy world now. So Buddha say, okay, etam santang, etam panitang, adidang upekka, you come back to the middle. So how quickly are we able to relinquish that happiness gained through the sensory impingement and return back to that normal boring state? Boring state, isn't it? So unattached state, unconstructed state. So while in the middle, there is less constructions. So the mind is in a very peaceful state. That means constructions are less and less. You know, the mind's manipulations, constructions, preparations, fantasizing, proliferation, all have to be less and less. So that's why people, sometimes they call it's really boring. I mean, what next I need to do? What else I need to do? So all the questions are there because we don't know how not to do things. How just be. How switch off that doing mode and return back to the being mode. So we are geared to do something. Always want to do something. So constantly trying to do something and constantly get agitated. But when are we shift ourselves into the doing mode, to the being mode, just be, just relax, just calm down, just experience the peace, just enjoy that inner silence. So that is Nibbana in a way. So what are we expecting through Nibbana? Is it an agitated, elated, or excited mind? Or are we experiencing a peaceful, relaxed, calm, quiet, peaceful mind? So our understanding about Nibbana, our reference towards Nibbana, so all has to be very much like previously kind of disoriented. Now we are properly orienting that. So we understand, okay, this is the state, okay, I have to keep the mind. Not in the future, right now. Is the mind unagitated right now? Is the mind peaceful right now? Is the mind relaxed, calm, peaceful right now? So right now is the practice in a way. Now is the knowing. There's a very beautiful book by Ajahn Sumedho. Now is the knowing. So you are returning to the present moment. So you have to be mindful right now. If you find mind agitated, okay, let it go. Come back. Be in the peace, in the middle. Sada sato sikhi. Santiti nibbutin yatva. Sasane gotamatsa napamajjaya. So you are not neglectful in this practice. So you have come across the sasana, you have come across the teaching, the Buddha's dispensation, and don't be neglectful now. Don't be ignorant. And try hard in a way to return in the middle, be in the middle, dwell in the middle. So that's very much, this is highlighting. So I liked any of you to talk. Then I talk. Yes, please.
So what you mentioned, where is, when there's the middle, calm, tranquil, balanced, mm-hmm. and the elated state, where is the enlightenment factor of joy here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually the enlightenment factor is also, you know, evolving. At the beginning, first it is not that we get the equanimity as the most, prominent factor in the enlightenment factors. But at the beginning, what you are supposed to develop is the mindfulness, the sati sambojjhanga, the mindfulness enlightenment factor. And once you feel comfortable with that, and once you feel fairly confident in that, and you understand, okay, now there's a constant mindfulness is available, unwavering kind of mindfulness is available. So now you are supposed to do the Dhamma Vichaya, the second one. So you do the careful investigation, because you settle the apparatus. You have properly set the apparatus. Now everything's standby, everything's ready. Now you do the experiment. Now you do the investigation. Now that is the second enlightened factor. So now you initiate that investigation. So because that has to be initiated by yourself. It's very unlikely that once you are mindful, you yourself get that kind of a motivation to do it. But you hear the Buddha's teaching, you hear Savaka is telling that, okay, I am now initiating that process. At the beginning it is difficult, but later slowly, slowly you understand the technique. And now mind itself is doing it. Different phenomena arising and your mind applies to that, and then you do the investigation. Another phenomena arising, your mind applies to that, you do the investigation. Another phenomena arising, you apply the mind, do the investigation. Now you ignited that process, initiated that process, now it is continuing. And sometimes mind collapse. Okay, I can't do it, I feel bad, I feel lazy, blah, blah, blah. So you need effort. The effort enlightened factor, the virya sambojjhanga. So because it is difficult, because you can't maintain the alignment sometimes. Your mind gets distracted. Again, you need to sharpen the mindfulness. Again, you need to settle the concentration. Again, you need to start this. Tedious process in a way. Because if you are not used to it, it's a kind of a tedious process. So mind says, oh, I can't do it. Difficult. I can't see. I can't recognize this and that. So it collapses. So again, you need to lift it up. So the energy has to be developed. The energy enlightenment factor is now growing. And assume one day, so everything is fairly good. Everything's happening really well. And the mind happily do the process. Now the piti comes. Piti sambojjhanga. So you strive so far to get the proper alignment. And now you got the proper alignment. So mind itself is now doing it. So you don't need to push. You don't need to strive. But mind itself is doing it happily, slowly, carefully. Everything is coming and it's doing and gone. Another one comes, doing, gone. Another one comes, investigated, disappeared. Another one comes, investigated, disappeared. A kind of a very smooth process is going on. And now you feel comfortable. Now the mind is not agitated. Mind has that proper balance. So the piti, passaddi, those bojjhangas, the rupture and tranquility. So those bojjhangas are also now coming up. Because the process is happening smoothly now. Now, when it is happening like that, so later, assume that you get the each and every phenomena, you get the momentary concentration. Everything is momentary concentration. That concentration is also there. Samadhi is also there. Now everything is doing really well. Now what are you going to do? Let it happen. Just let it happen. So that means you step back. Now the equanimity. Now this is where the equanimity comes to the play. So when everything is happening smoothly, the alignment, the proper balance, everything is doing well, now you don't need to do anything. You simply stay back and watch the process. So that is how the equanimity enlightenment factor come into the picture. Now ultimately, it becomes more powerful than the others. It becomes more prominent because the process is happening fairly well, and and you get thorough understanding about this phenomena, and the mind's capacity, mind's qualities evolve. And rather than you recognize distinct characteristics, now everything very much like mixed up. So you feel dispassionate about it. Because now you can't see a beauty or, a very subtle characteristics. Now everything happens like a flux. So everywhere it appear like flux. Everything is arising and passing away. Everything arising and passing away. So your attitude towards that process become somewhat dispassionate. So with dispassion, what you have is the equanimity. Now not the rupture. Rupture is somewhat faded away now. So the equanimity is coming up. Assume one day, that your mind get released from this process. So it become dispassionate, not interested about it, and you have the mind has certain amount of wisdom available. As a result of that, you get a kind of distance from it, detach from it, release from it. So when the mind get released, again the equanimity. So this released state of mind have to be equanimous mostly, because there is nothing to attach. So it's a very kind of a freedom. So freedom is very close to equanimity. So that's why Buddha recommending come back to that equanimity. So equanimity is the kind of mature form of wisdom, we can say. So if the mind is properly equipped with wisdom, so the feeling tone has to be mostly equanimous. Not that you being in a very elated kind of happy laughing state, or not in a depressed crying state, rather you are in a more equanimous state. And you become equanimous even to the all the formations. Sabba sankharesu anicca sankha, anicca sanya, like that you are getting to kind of for every phenomena, for every constructed phenomena, so you become more equanimous. So you understand their true nature. You have nothing to do about it. You have no control about it. So you become step back and you withdraw from the process. So the process is continuing and you are becoming more equanimous. And Buddha recommend, okay, always if due to latent tendencies, due to available influxes, if your mind get agitated, if your mind come back to elated state, excited state, don't stay there, return back to equanimity. So the equanimity is highlighted in a way. So that is the more mature form of experience while you are more equipped with wisdom. So enlightenment factors therefore are evolving. It is not that every time we have all the seven, rather you get more equanimous. And sometimes if it is too much equanimous, sometimes we fall asleep, then we need to regain balance. But most of the time we are returning back to the equanimity.
Asura Swami Nasa. So can one, you know, when we are practicing this meditation and going in this path, can someone experience all these seven factors for like few seconds?
Seven factors?
Seven bojangas, sorry. Even though we are still in the sati, practicing the sati sambojanga or something like that, because when, for an example, like yesterday I had a situation which I get like agitated and I couldn't let it go. So I started doing the Paryanka, and it took like 30 minutes, because I was thinking like this thing bothers me like 5 years ago. I'm practicing this path for a long time, and still if I still get attached or agitated or get angry with the same kind of situations still now, why am I doing this practice? So I started I had a good adhisthana.
Determination.
Yeah. And started doing that, and I it took like maybe like 10-15 minutes to get out of that, and I was in the equanimous state at that time. That's what my question was like, because it was equanimous state at that time and it didn't bother me, but it took like not a split second, blinking an eye, but it took like maybe like 10-15 minutes to get out of
to return back. Yeah.
But I felt the I didn't know it's about the, I'm not saying it's Piti Sambojanga or anything like that, but I felt, even though this is like Patola, but I felt like happy.
Little happy. Kind of,
yeah, I was not sure until now. I'm evolving this
bojangas.
I'm not sure. Still, I'm not sure. So that's my question. Can someone if I'm not?
Yeah. Actually, that's why. So I mean, when we are developing mindfulness, so we are developing the mindfulness enlightenment factor. I mean, certain amount of other enlightened factors are there, but not much prominent. Because still we are not settled. So the mindfulness is not continuous. So there are certain wavering there. So it is. So So the mindfulness is not yet in that prime or say distinct form, good form. So once mindfulness become continuous only, typically we say, okay, now the beginning of the enlightenment factors are happening. The process very much started, ignited the process. You can refer Anapanasati Sutta in the Majjhima Nikaya. So that is where a very comprehensive explanation is available, how you are going through this kind of a, one after the other type of process, ascending type of process, a sequential process. How from sati, mindfulness, then you go to the Dhamma Vichaya, investigation. From investigation, you go to the virya, the effort. From virya, you go to the sati dhamma virya, piti, the rapture, piti, and then passaddi, the tranquility, and then samadhi, concentration, and then ultimately the equanimity. So there's a gradual order there. But the interesting thing is, once you establish there and your mind become recognizing kind of a released state, now Buddha say a different way of developing bodhjhangas. That is also something worth discussing. So that is where Buddha say, now you don't need to do this whole process again and again. Because you have done that, and as a result of that, you have recognized this equanimous state. Now it's a matter of continuing that equanimous state, maintaining that equanimous state, as mentioned in the this Indriya Bhavana Sutta. So you are again and again returning to that equanimous state, familiarizing with that equanimous state, consolidating that equanimous state. And now you are doing it in a more relaxed manner. You are not in a striving mood now. Again and again, what you need to do is return back and just be. Return back to that state and just be. Return back to that state, just be. So that is why Buddha mentioned, now you are developing bodhjhangas, sati sambodhjhangam bhaveti viveka nisitam, viraga nisitam, nirodha nisitam, vasagga parinami. Dhamma vichaya sambodhjhangam bhaveti viveka nisitam, viraga nisitam, nirodha nisitam, vasagga parinami. So each and every bodhjhanga, now Buddha adds another phrase, a different phrase. That is not the attitude you had at the beginning. At the beginning, it's a kind of a, you are very much like developing the process one after the other. But now you are developing the process in a more equanimous manner and more relaxed manner. Viveka nisitang. So your mind, you are attuned to a kind of a relaxed mood. Viveka nisitang, viraga nisitang, kind of a dispassionate mood. So whatever the incoming various phenomena, so you have a kind of a dispassion. Rather than you go and investigate and thoroughly do an analysis. So you already did that, no? Isn't it? So you already done that. Maybe you can remind yourself in case mind get attached. So if not, you know, you have seen that, okay, you can let it go. I mean, I don't need to get involved with it. You are not much interested about it now. So you have a kind of a dispassion towards that. Viraga nisitang. Then nirodha nisitang. So you like to, in a cessation, you like to be in that middle all the time without much interested about the arising and passing away phenomena. You like to dwell in a release state, which is very much like stopped. Your mind has really stopped like. So not agitated like. So you are not jumping to this and that, but stopped. You always come back to stopping mood, being mode. What you call as the Nirodha Nisitang, and then Vasagga Parinaming. That means maturing in release. So you assume that your mind get agitated, your mind get attached, you recognize that. So you return back to the middle, and ultimately again mind get released. So the result is a release. So you are maturing in release. You fulfill yourself in the release. So ultimate, the process ends up in release. Again you get to the release state. Again you get to the release state. That is what it is called Vasagga Parinami. So you are maturing in release. So this is in a way the advanced way of developing bodhjhangas. Now we are not in a striving mode. And again, now we are not in a more, you know, thorough investigative type of mode either. You can do a little bit of investigation, but it is a very soft, very delicate, unagitated kind of a investigation, which does not produce any kind of an agitation within the mind. say for example, when at the previous state, say you prepare yourself, your mind is well collected, you do a very precise investigation, everything is arising and passing away, that is necessary. But the previous stage, it's also necessary. As a result of that investigation, now you come to a kind of a peaceful state. So that peaceful state is fairly free from all these arising and passing away phenomena. Your mind is in a more equanimous state now. It like to rest. It like to take a rest. Calm, relax, not doing anything. So likewise, so we need to switch to that being mode from the doing mode. So previously we were in the doing mode. Yes, it is necessary. But now you come across this relinquished state, release state, just dwell there, be peaceful with it.
Yeah, that's what I said, like it took some time, like 10 minutes or something like that, because I was not just letting it go, but I used that as an opportunity to learn some and investigate some certain things, and I saw, like, you know, how my mind gives food to that thought. I didn't want to let it go as soon as possible, because I thought, like, it's, I'm going to use it, whatever the situation at that time. I wanted to use it, and I saw this is the how my mind is like giving food, and hey, grow it, it, you know, anger is good, like something like that. So it also gave me the opportunity to learn, like, a little bit of this dukkha satya, like, this is, I'm suffering because of this, just, sorry, but stupid thought, right? Mm. So
that thought itself is suffering.
That is suffering.
Why Buddha mentioned, I mean, what you see, whatever the condition phenomena, just mere suffering. So what you see is just the arising of suffering and passing away of suffering. You can boil it down to that, in a way. All the things, everything, either material phenomena or immaterial phenomena, you can boil down. What is that boil down, or the correct terminology? You have very much like summarizing everything to something. So you have very completed everything, but ultimately you come to a very simple equation-like thing. Drill down, or what's that? Drill down to this suffering arising, suffering pass away. That's all. So likewise, so Buddha mentioned, sometimes various people come and try to argue with Buddha. So who is attaining Nibbana? After attaining Nibbana, after passing away, what happens to him? So all the different arguments are there. So people are with the self view, the soul view. And Buddha says, I am not talking about that. I at the previous time and now also right now, I am telling suffering arising, suffering pass away. That's it.
Right. And ultimately you can thankful to that thought.
Exactly. So really, like simplifying yourself and inculcate kind of a dispassion towards what's going on.
Exactly.
And you are not interested about it. And you see, okay, just suffering arising and suffering passing, suffering arising and suffering pass away.
Yeah. Actually, like, there are two ways of like making yourself happy in that case, like, you know,
seeing it. But seeing that it is suffering.
Then it's three ways. Seeing and coming to that equanimous state. And also you can thankful to that thought. And it makes me, I'm thanking to the thing or the person or the situation that makes me angry. I'm using it.
Mm. Yeah, so getting fertilizer, you are getting raw material to your practice in a way.
Correct.
Without it, I mean, how are we going to sharpen our weapons? So that, I mean, so that's what you call this. So the vipassana knowledges are very much, Buddha sometimes equals them to a weapon, a sharp weapon. So sharp weapons are not for just to keep them idle, but to use it to cut off the defilements. So the more you have familiarity about it, to how to use these weapons, so you are becoming more and more a skillful warrior kind of thing. So sometimes Buddha take that theme, how to motivate people in that warrior kind of a mentality. So he sometimes say like that. So sometimes in the Theragatha it is mentioned, real warriors, actually they go they become monks and they are telling how they motivated themselves. I put this robe as a, you know, sannaha, what's that? Armored shield. Yeah, I put this armored shield so that I never come out without cutting off all the defilements. So that is the determination he has. So I am putting this armored shield and going to the forest so that I am coming out of it only after I relinquish all the defilements. That's it. I am not going to come out without it. Kind of that warrior kind of an attitude. It's very interesting. So, I mean, it is not a, you know, I mean, cutting off all the defilements is not a tricky thing. No, I mean, it's not a, say, trivial thing. So you have to go on and on continuously, be mindful and do the whole process again and again. So, I mean, it's a tedious process in a way because we don't know how Lord available still. You are doing the practice today, still lust is coming tomorrow. Again you do it, again lust is coming. Again you do, again lust is coming. So when is going to end? So you get sometimes frustrated. So you need continuous effort to do it. I mean, yesterday also I worked really hard. Today also I worked really hard. Tomorrow also lust is coming. All the defilements are like that. So that, what a Lord available in that sense. So how are we going to end it? How are we going to finish? When am I going to find the end of it? So we can become impatient. So that is why we need the kind of a continuous effort, relentless effort is required, so that even though these are coming, I am going to fight. I am not going to give up. I am not going to give up in between. I am going to win the battle. So that kind of a, you know, mentality also necessary sometimes, because otherwise you feel, you know, discouraged. Oh, it's not going to work. Today also I tried. It's not going to work. Tomorrow also I'm getting not going to work. So you can get discouraged. So therefore Buddha encouraged, okay, you this vipassana knowledges are like weapons. So use them skillfully to cut off defilements, to penetrate. It's very interesting way how, I mean, so as a teacher, how different, many different ways that he use his followers to encourage and motivate and continue in their practice. On the other hand, sometimes in a more smooth way, you know, more soft way. That's also there.
Yeah, maybe as a little addition to what you said, I found it important to know, especially, let's say, in our state, where you are, because what you said that you become tranquil and don't get passionate, mm-hmm. that maybe could be mixed up with the shortcut and easy way, like in my state, like saying I don't care,
mm-hmm. and I don't care in the sense of
I give a shit, and mixing that up with I am tranquil, so don't mix that up
exactly.
Which would be ignoring.
Thank you very much for pointing it out. So at the beginning, it is not that we are maintaining kind of an indifferent attitude. So you become insensitive to things. So a completely wrong way of approach. Because you haven't done proper analysis. You haven't done proper investigation. Rather, what you do is, I am not interested about it. I am not interested about it. So don't bother me. You know, that kind of a ignorant type of equanimity. You haven't penetrated things. So that is actually all discussed in certain suttas, so it is well discussed. So the equanimity here, what we are talking, is something we have achieved as a result of the investigation. Because we have seen the true nature of the things, as a result of that mind become equanimous. Not that you purposely imposed equanimity to your mind, which is not something you imposed, forcefully imposed. It is not. Rather, you have seen the reality, as a result of that, the mind automatically become equanimous. It is not that you generated equanimity. Rather, as a result of this investigation, equanimity has evolved, equanimity has sprouted, equanimity has developed. So that is the type, that's why, I mean, in a way, as we discussed just now, so when we are systematically developing the enlightened factors, one after the other, so ultimately only we come to the equanimity. So you can't jump to equanimity as a quality, as a feeling. It is not that you are trying to impose equanimity, like I'm not going to talk with you, So don't come and bother me. I'm not interested in talking to you. You know, you can be equanimous like that. That is not the thing. Ignorant type of equanimity, that is. You know, sometimes we can give an example. Now say, you know, you have seen certain cows and ox on the road. So people are coming and, you know, they are horning, right? Honking. But they are not interested about it. They are still on the road. They are ignorant. Ignorant, and they don't bother about, even though these people are honking. Honking? What's that? Honking. Okay. But they are ignorant and equanimous. So they don't bother. I mean, even though others get blocked and the roads are, being blocked, they don't bother because they are cows, ox. But here it is quite different. A very significant difference is here. So you went through a successful patipada. You went through a successful practice. And you do a thorough investigation. You have developed mindfulness. You have developed certain amount of concentration, using which you did the thorough investigation. As a result of that, certain amount of wisdom is now growing. So that wisdom takes care of developing the dispassion. So like we discussed yesterday, so that in the sutta, na chetana karaniya sutta, so that is why Buddha mentioned, so if you have thorough understanding, if you know things as they truly are, the result of that is dispassion and disenchantment. Because you have seen it. And when dispassion and disenchantment is available, once it is maturing, once it is grown, next result is relinquishment, release. You give up. So it's a kind of a causal process. So that's a very beautiful simile Buddha gave. You know, there is a blind person. I think we discussed this already sometime back. There is a blind person. So he's blind, he can't see. But now he got an invitation to attend to a ceremony. But he want to wear himself beautifully. Because it's a ceremony, you know. So now he go to a shop and he's asking a beautiful clean cloth. He has some money. But the fellow going to sell the shirt is a cunning person. So what he does? So instead of giving him a very clean, beautiful cloth, he takes something used cloth. It's dirty and not beautiful. And he tricked this fellow, the blind person, and sell it to the blind person. Now he uses it thinking it is beautiful, thinking it is really worthy, thinking it's a very special cloth. And now he go to the ceremony. And assume that the ceremony is also over. Now he's protecting that cloth very much. Again he go to another ceremony, maybe like that. So he's so attached to that cloth. And now Buddha say, suppose one day his friends are there, his relations are there. So they took him to a surgeon, eye surgeon. And they did the eye surgery. As a result of that, he fully recovered. Now he got the eyesight. Now what happened? Now he see, what am I wearing? What am I wearing? So now he get the eyes. Now only he got the sight. Now is someone needs to impose him to remove it. Take it out. Not necessary. He has seen it. So far I was being fooled by this cunning person, telling that it's a beautiful, worthy cloth. But now I saw it is not really worthy. I have seen. I got the sight. So you have seen it properly. You got the understanding. You thoroughly understood. You see it as it really is. Now you relinquish it. Now it is letting go is automatic. It's effortless because you saw it. Now you will give it up. So something like that. So by seeing, by thoroughly knowing, if we see properly, if we know properly, if the wisdom is available, the next result is the relinquishment, detachment. So that is the process that we are talking here. So the equanimity came through that process. Not that you are imposing equanimity as a quality, as a feeling, rather it's a process come through due to the proper understanding, proper generation of this wisdom. Anything? Yeah, I talked a lot, so please add something.
I think since Bhante just arrived, I'll read the verse again. Having understood this Dhamma, investigating, a bhikkhu should always train mindfully. Having known quenching as peace, he should not be heedless in Gotama's teaching.
Yeah, so the Pali is etancha dhamma manyaya vichinang bhikkhu sada sato sikhi santiti nibbutin yatva sasane gotamasse napamajjaya. Very beautiful. I mean, so etancha dhamma manyaya, so you knowing that Buddha's teaching as it is, vichinam bhikkhu, so the vigilant bhikkhu, the practitioner, sada sato sikhi, continuously, mindfully, he trained himself. Santiti nibbuti nyatva, so calming down, relinquishing of all the defilements, seeing as the nibbana. Nibbuti nyatva, sasane gotamasa nappamajjaya. In the Buddha's dispensation, he is not becoming heedless. He is heedful. So this is the verse available in the Tuvataka Sutta. That's what we discussed today. Very interesting, actually. I mean, how concisely the whole practice is included there. So, very beautiful in a way. Yeah. Sikkhati means hikmenua. Oh, hikmenua, training yourself, restraining yourself. Yeah.
Bhante, I just wanted to say sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. It's truly the whole Buddha's teaching in this verse.
Exactly.
And you beautifully, I think, highlighted particularly what we need to do is to practice daily and continually, and how hard that can be, you know. And you also were bringing up some part of the practice or the part of ourselves that we find is that we want to do this with our volitional will. You know, we want to get to this equanimity, and so there's two, you know, kind of, well, the big trap of that is that in Zen, I heard this in Zen also, although I don't know where the teaching comes from, but there was a story, it's a story of a student that comes to a master and says, you know, I want to attain enlightenment. And the master, you know, he says, how long will it take me if I meditate 2 hours a day? And the master said, 5 years. And then he said, well, what if I do it 5 hours a day? 10 years. So it's like this, you know, you get the point, you know, that we can't do this willfully. And I've, and just in my own practice, you know, you see, you know, that actually these the equanimity comes without you wanting it. It's actually a surprise. It just arises. And I think, and we talked about that yesterday with the sutta we were discussing, is that
Sabhiya Sutta.
Sabhiya Sutta, yes. And that, you know, that it takes practice, and it's not something that you will to happen. So that's one thing. And then the other, you know, the thing that people, I think, also do is they have, some people may have a characteristic of themselves psychologically that they are, that they don't want to be anywhere near other people. And they don't even, they think this is correct. And they could easily see this as being, well, I'm equanimous, you know. Mm-hmm. You come to, you know, you see this Buddha's teaching. Oh, look, that's, I've got it. I, you know, I'm great, you know, I can do this. And that's actually, you know, I think there's a term called spiritual bypass that is actually...
What's that? Can you explain that?
I just heard one talk on it, but it really hit me. I think we all do this, is basically whatever our, I guess you could say hang-ups, whatever hang-ups we have that actually cause us a lot of pain and actually make it difficult to deal with other people. maybe say this, you know, sort of detachment from others and not wanting to be bothered by others. We consider that to be, we take that into the spiritual practice and identify it with the spiritual teachings, and wrongly we think that that is, well, the Buddha said it, you know, I'm doing it right, you know, and this is actually a really great thing, equanimity, you know, you could call it equanimity. And so instead of actually...
going through it, well, I mean, developing yourself.
Yeah, well, I mean, and actually, rather than getting to the root of why you're dispassionate to other people and don't like other people, want people to stop bothering you, rather than facing that, is actually a big problem in your life. It's causing you a lot of disharmony with
others.
Yeah,
escaping.
You're escaping, yeah, instead of getting to the root of that problem, which actually you're not, it's not at all a good state. It's actually a really bad defilement. Rather than getting to the root of the defilement, you are actually covering it over, glossing it over as equanimity, let's say. So, and in the West, I mean, that's especially true. So many Westerners have psychological sorts of problems because of the materialism and consumerism, fast food culture, that people have a lot of, there's, you know, psychotherapy and all sorts of different psychological, you know, counseling is available for Westerners these days, because there is so much of this problem in society. And it's so, you know, in a way that the psychological help that somebody might need to get them to see that they have a problem is actually more important, you know, than just jumping into a religion and deciding, you know, well, I'm right, you know, because obviously when somebody has some really deep issues, that there's a, they need to see that, but rather than seeing it, they don't want to see it. When somebody's really attached to their, you could call that a self-view. So if somebody has a self-view that the world is bad and I'm going to avoid the world and keep people away from me, that's a wrong self-view that you're holding on to very tightly, and you can't see it. So a counselor can help somebody see this problem. That's the starting point, some awareness of the problem, rather than to just say, I'm okay, I'm just fine. You know, look, the Buddha says so. So that's like spiritual bypass. That's the really the issue of it. But, I mean, even the, you know, at that gross level, you know, when somebody's really suffering because of a psychological hang-up, we all do this, you know. We all, you know, we should all be very aware. I think we all do it. I shouldn't say that. But to some level, I think we all kind of, we face that in our practice, that we take our kind of like our inclinations as a person, you know, like some people are very assertive and, you know, but that can also be a, you know, very, you know, limiting thing as well. Maybe that person also needs to open up and, you know, grow the other side of themselves, you know, like a more of a equanimous state and more of just stepping back.
And the other thing, so, I like to add a little bit. So so in the true equanimity here, so it is not that you are narrowing down the mind, you are opening up the mind. So as you correctly mentioned as the last statement, so I mean, you are going to the others with an open mind. It's a kind of an open attitude. So open awareness. So previously what we had is a kind of a, you know, focused attention. So you are precisely keeping your attention and recognizing different defilements or different phenomena and do the thorough investigation. As a result of that thorough investigation, ultimately what you, once the mind is released, you are going to more and more open awareness. So that means your mind is now receptive in a way. So you can receive things, you can open up yourself, but mind does not accumulate things. So it's a very interesting way how Buddha explained that. It is not that your mind becomes narrow. No, typically, as you mentioned, so the people, as you said in the spiritual bypass or what it is, so now people become very narrowed, no? So I don't bother me. I have my own business. Don't disturb me. So that is a very narrow mind. But here, when one goes through the proper practice, rather than becoming narrow-minded, oh, his mind become more grown, more open, more broader kind of thing. So that the person has to recognize that. Previously, I have narrow-minded kind of attention, but now mind is not located in a particular place, but very open-minded. I am feeling quite relaxed, boundless awareness. So that's why it is coming more and more boundless. So that is why Buddha mentioned, so when talking about his own mind, he mentioned, Vimariyadi katena chetasa viharami. So the my mind doesn't have any boundary. Now, typically, when you are locked with something, when you attach to something, your mind become more narrowed down to that. You become more constrained to that because you are being locked. You can't see the outside. But here, you are not locked into anything. So you are fully free from everything. So your mind become completely aware of things, open, and no boundary. So therefore, it's a completely different approach in a way. So as you said, I mean, if we think, okay, I'm doing the same thing, then it is wrong, because at the moment, say if you haven't done the proper process, you haven't gone through the proper patipada, so you are very much like narrowing down yourself. You are rejecting the others, refusing the others' association. But now here it is very much like different. So you go through the whole process. As a result of that, mind open up. So you are now ready to even associate with others, but you are very much in a kind of a safe cushion like thing. You are not taking things inside even. Your mind not getting mixed up. Even though others are insulting and all these things, you are not very much, your mind is, you know, penetrating that. You are like no one. You are the others' insults are coming, but it is going through. It's not hitting you, like something like that. Very beautiful way. I mean, sometimes, so the arahants are explaining that. So one venerable Sona, in the Sona Sutta, so he's saying, so, Busachepi chakkuvenyaya rupa chakkusapathang agacchanti. So there are many, many different sites available. Busachepi chakkuvenyaya rupa chakkusapathang agacchanti. So when I am keeping my eyes open, so they come and hit my eyes. Chakkuvenyaya apathang agacchanti. Amissi kata mevasa chittang hoti. But my mind not mixed up with them. Even though I can see all these things, so many things. But mind is relaxed. Mind is not getting mixed up with them. Amissi kata me vasa chittang hoti. Titan chittang. Mind remains still. Mind remain calm. Titan chittang. Vippamuttang. No defilements. Vayanchassa anupassati. He see how all these things coming and going. Coming and going. Coming and going. He is not bothered. So it's a completely different approach anyway. Different experience. Yes, yes, please.
Thank you, Bhante. Yes, and you also remind me of that, you know, psychological approaches these days in the West are considered, I've heard them compared to the Buddhist teaching, the psychological thing that you can do with a counselor can get you to a normal sense of openness, just a little more open, because somebody who's psychologically stuck to one way of being, they're very, very, very narrow, but just to get them to open up some, but the Buddha gets you to open up all the way. Just it's completely open, and that's eventually, you know, arahant kind of state. And just very quickly, I hope, let's see, is that in, this is something that I keep running into, I keep finding, but it was also in Zen that they really they really emphasize the fact that we have Buddha nature within us. And that's like, I mean, like not childlike, but like when you're a child, you don't have all these sorts of constructs in your mind. And a child has got this sort of open innocence that isn't really constricted and you can see what I'm saying. As we get older, we get all these constructs that and beliefs that we carry, and that becomes a really solid self that we believe in. But we really do have this inner nature that started, you know, it's quiet, and we already have this equanimous state. And in Zen, they really emphasize that it's Buddha nature. We have this, and actually what we're doing in practice is allowing that to arise. It's not that we're trying to get something that we don't have. So I think that's, and they also, what you were saying earlier, that it's not enlightenment. When you were speaking earlier, Bhante, you were saying it's not enlightenment in the future, but there's a certain nibbana that we can find in our practice right now. And there's even a sutta in Zen that is all about this, and I don't know the sutta's name, but I could find out. I think it's Genjo Koan, actually. I could look it up, but it's we would recite it every day or once a week in the Zen practice. But it's that it's basically saying enlightenment practice. We're practice is enlightenment. And that's really stressed as well in Zen, is that every day, every moment is enlightenment practice. And we're doing it right now. And there's a certain, as you say, you know, like every moment we can find a certain enlightenment quality arising, or where we can see how we're getting there. We can get to a point of calmness. We can let go of some anger or something that's arising through practice. And that's somewhat of a, you know, that's encouragement. And we can see, yes, that verifies, you know, the Buddha is teaching us right.
Good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, Sabandhi. I was just listening to also, I think we need to be very careful here, Bhante, because Buddha categorically says in so many suttas that the people that you're associating should be up to that quality. Mahamangala Sutra, Asevanacha Balanang, you know, you disassociate the low quality people. I mean, this is Buddha. Sabbasva Sutta, Parivajjana Pahatamba, you know, that's one way of getting rid of your kilesa. This is Buddha's verdict. Parivajjana Pahatamba, and that means disassociate. And he categorically say low quality people, you know, you avoid them, right? And in the Anguttara Nikaya, Tikka Nipata, in the Puggala Vagga, Buddha segregate into three, and who are upper, equal, and lower. And he say, Nasevitamba, low quality, you know, don't associate. And Bhante, Buddha, by example, has shown in so many times in what happened in Kosambanvara, you know, he just walked out. You know, because you are not up to my standard. You know, you don't deserve to be here. So, you know, so I'm moving out. And in that particular Uposatha, Mughalan Maharadhan once, he threw that bhikkhu away from the window. You know, so you need to be very careful, you know. So, and the teachers that we have, are great teachers, you know, they have categorically said, be very careful with people that you're associating. If you want to get into a higher elevation, you should always associate people who have achieved higher levels in terms of sila, samadhi, prajna, or at least equal. That sutta, Anguttara Nikaya, Tikka Nipata, is very beautiful. The people who have achieved higher levels than you, sakkaroti garu karoti, you know, you pay respect, you know, you serve them. People who are in the same level, right, you associate, pairupasana, that's the word Buddha says, association. But others, sorry, you know, nasevitabha, because we are not in a social form, this is not a social form. In Mahasunita Sutra, they say, eko ganaso upakatto. Right, you know, you cannot be with everyone. You know, you shouldn't be the good person to everyone. Buddha never did that, you know, even to his father-in-law, he said, you know, you are going to hell in 7 days. Right? This is Mahakarunika Buddha.
Not his own father, the stepfather.
Father-in-law. He said, you are going to hell in 7 days, and he never helped him. So
Can't help.
There are people can't help. So you need to decide whether to whom that you're associating, and our teachers, they have categorically said, since we are really practicing Buddha's word, And so we, it's a very tricky situation for a lot of people, but for us it's not tricky because we're just practicing straightforwardly what Buddha said. And what we are practicing is that, you know, we see consciously and we categorize, and, you know, we pay respect, we serve bhikkhus or even lay people who have achieved higher levels, who are in the same level, we associate, others disassociate. And who says so? Buddha says so.
Yeah, that's also true, because otherwise, true, I agree. Yeah, I agree with it, because, you know, the proper association with the Kalyanamittas, good people, they motivate us, they inspire us. So we also get inspired to practice, and, you know, otherwise if we got become, you know, socializing ourselves and engage with too much excessive talking, useless chattering and all these things, it's going to collapse the whole thing. Yeah, it's true. Yes. So, I mean, that's the thing. So, if you, on the other hand, now, if you are developing yourself to a Kalyanamitta level, at that level, probably you can think, okay, now, I mean, that is, I won't drop down. If you have that confidence only, you can allow others to associate you, even in there, you understand, okay, they haven't yet developed, they are still talking nonsense, but there, that nonsense may not have a significant influence in me because I am thoroughly established myself. So if you have that confidence only, you can become a Kalyanamitta to the other people. Otherwise, as he mentioned, okay, you are still a vulnerable person. You still don't feel confident about your own establishment, your own achievement in the practice. So you better be careful.
Okay, Subhanti, and especially the disassociation, it's a psychological thing. It's actually giving total freedom to those guys. So you don't interfere into their activities because you're wasting your energy. You know, look here, son, you do whatever you want because it doesn't matter to us. So what we are doing, based on the advice given by our teachers, so we keep a bookkeeping of whether those guys, their activities or anything, that whether, as Bhante correctly said, whether those touch us. As far as those are not touching, you know, you can just be very free, right? So, and also in this sasana, there is a duty also for all the senior bhikkhus who have, because if bhikkhus start accommodating those people, we're giving a wrong example as to, you know, this is what the sasana is. You know, you can do anything, you know, this is like another pub, you know. No, because there is a duty and responsibility of, as Bhante correctly said, when you reach that Kalyanamitta level, like Matra Jnanaram Lokasansi did, you know, the way that I heard, Bhante was very careful when he setting the example. So, if you start, you know, entertaining everyone, you are invariably, you are actually doing harm to them.
Giving a wrong example.
Yes, you are just encouraging them to do, and, you know, you are not pushing them to get into the right order. So, since we, as junior bhikkhus, since we are still training, so we need to be very careful. And we, of course, keep a very close track of the activities, people, whatever the event that touches. So if anything is touching, that means I'm involved. So then we need to work out to get out of that involvement. So as far as you're not involved, you know, you're free, you know, you can just carry on, son, you can do whatever you want. That's it. That's disassociation. It's actually giving freedom to them. Isn't it, Bhante? You're giving freedom to them. It doesn't matter whatever you do, like. But with Kalyanamittas, you discuss, you know, you discuss with them what you are doing, you know, tell me, you know, what, how do you take food, at what time you wake up. So you want to learn. With others, okay.
The thing is, that, yeah, that's true. And the other thing is those people that we disassociate, so, I mean, if they are not interested of correcting themselves, so we can't forcefully go and teach them even. So as you said, I mean, then we neglect. So we give up. That's true. So that's why Buddha sometimes mentioned, so I restrain people with soft words. I restrain people with some harsh words. I restrain people with soft and harsh words. or else I completely give it up, kill them. Yeah, disassociate, just ignore them, neglect them, because you are no more advising them, because they are beyond repair in a way. I mean, you even Buddha's way of looking at it is like that. So then how about us? So we don't have that capacity, no? So how are we going to correct everyone? How are we going to be a good person to everyone? It's impossible. So as through our activities, so certain people may get discouraged, may get, angry with us, can't help. You can't satisfy everyone, yeah. So that's why, on the other hand, now that is another way of looking at it. Now when you become somewhat mature, so you understand that my enemy is within me, and this is the defilements within me. So now you need to recognize those defilements. So when you are associating good people, they may not, make you agitated, make you defiled. But when the others, you know, that those category of people are there, so they make you angry. In a way that we can use in a tricky way, okay. So are they making me angry? So now you are looking at not to correct them, but to correct you. So you are in a different way using them without their knowledge to your own development. So that is also possible. Not that impossible, that is also possible. Now you are putting a little bit of risk onto you, and see, even with this unhealthy association, am I getting agitated? Am I getting sort of defiled? Or am I able to maintain the peaceful state of mind even though they do various bad things? Difficult, by the way. I mean, there's a risk. Till you develop to that, still, I mean, you don't need, no need to try, because you can collapse to the other side.
The tricky part, Bhante, there is a high risk, because now I'm also a person with a lot of defilements, so our tendency is to move into the wrong practice all the time, because that's what we have been trained in the samsara. So now you have a set of good crowd who are following the right pathway, and you have a set of people who are not doing that. So our tendency is to get into this side
and just relax, and you have
so
a chat.
So you need to be very careful, slowly
enjoy.
You will also start relaxing your practice, because this is easy to do, you know, get into the wrong side.
And just relax and
yes. And after enjoy 2 years, after 2-3 years time, all of a sudden when you see that, you know, you are into that wrong practice. That's why Mataran Yananam Lokusan say in his diary note, says you should be very happy to be with people who are working. Here, the working means who are practicing Sila Samadhi Prajna. It's actually based on your merit that you will get such Kalyanamitas. But I'm very happy, Bhante, that you pointed out the risk is that I have seen so many bhikkhus, you know, who started very beautifully. They were very strong. They were following the timetable, everything. But there were few bhikkhus who were in the wrong practice. And
fully
all of a sudden, yeah, like after 2 years,
okay,
like, you
then,
know, so, you
shall
know,
we
they,
wind up?
They are also into that
so you
side.
Can do the, add your
without
comment and then do the winding up.
They are falling into the trap.
Thank you, Bhante, for your teaching today, bringing so much meaning to this verse. That we couldn't do without you. So thank you so much. And we wish to, and thank you to everybody who commented and participated for making it a lively discussion. We'd like to offer all the merits of this teaching and discussion to all those in need of merit, all beings, and we'll recite the traditional verses.